In our next conversation, Devin's going to give us a sneak peek. Welcome to Gospel Tangents, the best source for Mormon history, science, and theology. I'm Rick Bennett. Micronesia, Guam, Truk. You have probably heard of these islands, but don't know much about them. Devin Jensen actually served a mission there, and he's writing a history of the LDS Church on these islands. We're going to get a sneak peek into his book, which will probably be published sometime next year, and find out more about the LDS Church on these Pacific islands. Check out our conversation. What other areas of publishing are you involved with?
Oh, yeah, fantastic. So, in short, I was telling somebody I'm like a ping pong ball because I do some social media and I do some writing of my own. Do you want to talk about Micronesia?
Let's do it.
Okay, so I have been working for about 6 years. I actually want to back up just a little bit. When I started with the Mormon History Association, I began attending the meetings and I realized one day I could actually submit a paper. Because they're very open to other scholars, I said, I'm really interested in this. So I chose an ancestor, Philo Dibble, and I thought he'll be an interesting guy to talk about, right?
He was the guy that created the TV, right?
So no, Philo Farnsworth.
Philo Farnsworth.
Yeah, the other famous Philo. Okay. So my Philo is the one who recorded Joseph and Sydney as seen, in section 76, the visions of glory. So he says, he saw them looking like, you know, Sydney is very pale and Joseph is very energized and light emanating from him. So that's my Philo. Okay. So Philo one thing that was interesting about him is he created a little bit of a panorama that he used, and he said, we need to have a gallery of church art that tells our story. And so in that Canesville Log Tabernacle, they actually showed the martyrdom, and they showed another scene, two or three scenes that talked about the early church. And Wilford Woodruff loved it and said, we need to do that in Utah. Well, Philo would go around doing his show in Utah. And so other people kind of got that idea. CCA Christensen, his Mormon Panorama is a direct offshoot of that. So
he's a director, right?
Yeah.
17 Miracles, if I remember.
Oh, so you're talking about TC Christensen. Yeah.
TC.
Yeah. That's all right. You're jumping the wire there. But CCA Christensen is our guy who did the Manti Temple art, okay. Along with Minerva Tykert. And so he's did the Mormon Panorama and some stuff like that and he did some really good handcart stuff. So those are some kind of cool things. And then that ended up growing into the Springville Art Museum. So there's some really neat connections that I established in that paper. So as a result of that, I said, I'm really excited about this. I'm really interested in writing some other things. So eventually, now I'm jumping back to the Pacific. It turned out that there was a topic. They're coming up with a book on the Pacific. And they said, well, I was a missionary in one of the most remote areas of the world. It's an area called Ponape, Ponpei.
I'm glad you spelled that.
Yes. It literally means on the altar. And so it's a very Christian nation now, and about 30,000 people. And so I was there in Guam, where the temple is going to be built in Jigo, and I was there in Ponape. And those were my two areas that I was a missionary. And so I thought, wouldn't it be fun to collect some of those stories, those conversion stories, and some of the early pioneering members. And so I wrote that into a chapter, and that was published in the book. And as a few years later, I realized that is a really important story that I understand why people aren't writing about it. It's because it's so remote. I'll give you a visual. So imagine flying out to Hawaii.
Sure.
Now flying out to the Philippines. Halfway between there, approximately, is Guam and the Micronesia Guam Mission. So it's really out in the Pacific.
Now, did you serve your mission there?
I was a missionary there. Yeah.
Guam.
Yeah, in Guam and Ponape. And so I decided I would be very interested in interviewing some of the other folks out there. So I went out to the island of Chuuk. And Chuuk is one of the Chuuk.
Okay.
Used to be called Truk. Some of your listeners will know that. Yeah, they'll know that from World War II because a lot of battles were there. So essentially what happened where we know about this story is after Pearl Harbor, the Japanese had their fleet in the Chuuk Lagoon because it was a beautiful big lagoon and it was a place where they could just, it was naturally protected. I can't remember. It seems like it's about 1,000 square miles. So it's a huge, huge lagoon surrounded by volcanic islands. And basically they were waiting there and the U.S. forces kind of made their way west, and then they just bombed the Japanese in that lagoon. There are so many ships at the bottom of that lagoon to this day. There are actual skeletons. There are artifacts, you know, like gas masks.
So this was kind of a reverse Pearl Harbor.
Yes, it was a reverse Pearl Harbor, right? And so, yeah, being sensitive to the Japanese, this was their, this was sort of the payback for the Pearl Harbor, and it was a very devastating attack on them. And so basically, I thought I'd like to go out there and interview some people. So I applied for funding and got some funding to fly out there. I recorded about, I'm trying to think how many I did. I think I did about 6 or 10 oral history interviews, submitted those to the church archives. And so those interviews now exist there, and they will be donated to BYU as well when I'm done with them. I'm not quite done, but really close. So as a result of this, I decided to gather all these into a book. And so now we have, we're getting ready to submit this book for publication, and it's going to be called something along the lines of From Battlefields to Temple Grounds. And it's going to be the Latter-day Saints in Guam and Micronesia, something along those lines. And it's going to talk about some very, very briefly, it'll start with Magellan, because that's the intersection 500 years ago with the Chamorro people on Guam, and the complexity of that that colonial influence. It'll walk us up to the Germans and the U.S. forces who were in that area, the Japanese as well. So there were a lot of influences. When I was a missionary, I would you know, all the time run into people who had Japanese names because of the World War II occupation. And so then we're going to just talk about some of those stories, how the church entered there, largely through some Latter-day Saint politicians who enabled the gospel message to sort of be allowed to go in there. People like... And people who are not necessarily super active in the faith, if you will. Stuart Udall was one.
Oh, yeah. He was a senator from New Mexico.
Yep. And Mo Udall and Arizona, sorry.
Oh, Arizona.
I had to correct myself. And then Stuart Carver and... Albert T. Thomas was a senator from Utah who became the first high commissioner in the trust territory of the Micronesian of the trust territory of the Pacific Islands. And so he basically had responsibility to oversee all the political aspects of Micronesia. We're talking about an area about the size of continental United States, and make sure that their education system.
That's how big the islands are.
Oh yeah, that's how big that. The whole area is, the land mass itself is about the size of Rhode Island. So
it's spread out
all over this. So you've got
Rhode
places
Island
like,
spread out across the United States.
Yeah, so you've got places like Yap, where they have stone money. There's great big, huge stone discs that you can find in the Smithsonian. Fascinating thing.
This include Easter Island?
Does not include that as far as Easter Island. Okay. Yeah. But it includes Palau, let's see, Guam, Pohnpei, Chuuk, Marshall Islands, Kiribati. That's a whole story of itself. Casey, by the way, is writing the chapter on Kiribati. So
oh, wow.
It's going to be really great. So anyway, we're just about done with that manuscript. We're getting ready to submit that for publication again. I think we're going to make sure we get the temple dedication story in there, but that's the last part of it.
When's the temple to be? Is it dedicated already?
Good question. It was scheduled to be fourth quarter of this year. There was a mishap at the Port Authority, and some art burned, and so it kind of set everything back. an indeterminate amount of time. So we'll watch for that very closely and see when the temple will be dedicated. Hopefully it'll be early next year, if not the end of this year. Yeah.
Well, that's cool.
Yeah. Micronesia.
Wow. So yeah, I'll have to have you back on, I guess, maybe.
I love it. We'd love to talk and maybe even get Casey on or somebody.
Yeah.
I need to say that Phil MacArthur from BYU Hawaii is the author of the Marshallese chapter, and it is fantastic. He's spent his life talking about the Marshallese culture, among other things. He's an anthropologist and professor there at BYU Hawaii, and he just does a very good job of starting with the indigenous people and then talking about how the missionaries came in and sort of brought in their culture, and the Marshallese had to sort of dance, if you will, with their between the indigenous culture and the Western culture that was being encouraged. And so it's a really good story because he's talking about that complex dance between cultures.
All right. Well, Devin Jensen, thank you so much for sitting here with Gospel Tangents. Really appreciate it.
Thank you, Rick. Appreciate you.
I hope you enjoyed our conversation with Devin Jensen, president of LDS PMA. Devin, thanks for sitting down with me and telling me more about this organization. I hope you've all been able to sign up and at least check out the video streams of the conference that was held. So check that out. Go to the Facebook page LDS PMA and you can find out more. In our next conversation, I'm excited to have Dr. Brian Hales back on the show. You know, he's kind of the polygamy expert, writing a 3-volume set on polygamy, and it's actually been 8 years since those books came out. I asked him how those books have held up over, and what some of the critics think about his writings.
You'll find there's no contradiction in my 3 volumes and the material that they're presenting in those sources, but those are from believers. When you look at people who think Joseph was a fraud and an adulterer, they're going to interpret the data differently, not because they're looking at different data, it's just they're going in with different biases. Mm-hmm. So it's not necessarily what the evidence says as much as the person's a priori beliefs before they see the data.
If you'd like to hear the entire interview uncut, please subscribe for just $5 a month at patreon.com/gospeltangents, and you can hear the entire interview before everybody else. If you'd like to watch the entire video for just $8 a month, you can either subscribe on YouTube, Patreon, or my website, gospeltangents.com. Just click the yellow subscribe button, and I'll add you to our Gospel Tangents Insiders group so that you can see entire videos. For those interested in a PDF transcript, you can subscribe at either Patreon or on my website. For just $10 a month, I'll send you a PDF as soon as it's complete. If you'd like a copy of the paperback as well as a PDF, just sign up for $20 a month at either Patreon or my website, gospeltangents.com. Of course, you can buy individual transcripts at amazon.com and just do a search for Gospel Tangents Interview, and you can see all the things that we have there. Don't forget to support Gospel Tangents with an awesome t-shirt like one of these. You can subscribe at Apple Podcasts at tinyurl.com/gospeltangents. Get our latest updates at facebook.com/gospeltangents. Also, you can get our Twitter updates at gospeltangents. Click here to subscribe, here for a transcript, and over here we've got more of our great videos. Thanks again.